Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven untold? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches over me. I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches over me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender words I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose all my doubts and my fears. I draw Thee closer to me. From care He sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches over me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches over me. I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches over me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches over me. He watches over me.
Independence that we have within this great country. And I hear things, and I hear, oh, I know it's not right. I know this country is not perfect. I know our president and those in authority over us make mistakes. But I still live in the greatest country. And we are only about just a few miles from the greatest capital of any nation that has ever been. And I believe firmly that the strength of this country, the independence of this country, is founded upon "In God We Trust." Politicians can tell you different things. Those people can sue. People can, trust me, people that believe in God are the backbone of this country. Jane, can you hear me? All right. Jane, I thought it was so beautiful, but during the prayer request time, when you brought up Don Hartzell's name a second time, after you said, you know, my hearing is not that good, you know why? We were praying to someone whose hearing is perfect. We were praying to someone that never misses a word, never misses a name, never misses a thought, never misses a desire within our hearts. Till we were praying to our Heavenly Father. Amen? Amen. And I believe that the independence that we feel within this country, the freedom that we have only because of those who have given up so much. We thank Memorial Day. We think about those who made the ultimate sacrifice. When I flew in on Friday night and I flew in Thursday night when I told them Friday night the concert about flying in, coming in on San Juan, Puerto Rico, seeing all the flags everywhere. U.S. territories just celebrating Independence Day. Coming in and seeing the fireworks all the way up the East Coast, the plane just tilting slightly left. For those of you who've been on a sailboat last 7 days, that's port, right, Cap? Tilting port. And as you looked out the window, you could see the Capitol and you could see all the fireworks behind it. Oh, what a feeling of pride in this great country that I live in. It's the same pride that I feel when I read my Bible and what it has to say about the Christian. It's that same feeling of pride that I have, knowing it is nothing that I have done. It is simply that I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as God's only begotten Son, that He would deem it a privilege to allow me to believe in His Son who hung upon a cross, who shed blood for the remission of my sin and your sin. It's the pride that I have of being a Christian. After I got off that plane, got to the metro, and oh, so many people just packed on that metro, how many people coming south out of D.C. had so many red, white, and blue shirts and hats and flags were in hands, and everybody's in a tremendous mood. And as soon as I was able to get on to that metro car like this, and I got 3 or 4 more stops to go, a young man behind me, he kind of tapped me on the shoulder. He said, "Sir," he said, "you take my seat." I don't know if I'm getting to that age, but I took that seat and I sat down in it, and he and I began a conversation. He, living in Woodbridge with his wife and his son, had gone in to see the fireworks. He says, "But I make this trip a lot because I work at the White House." He, his son, his wife, wearing red, white, and blue, also wearing crosses around their neck, proud to be Americans, proud to show the heritage that they have here in this great country, and also proud to wear the crosses, saying, "Yes, brother, we are believers." How do you think I felt on that one? I felt that I was in the right place at the right time. And God had sent angels to help me on my travels. The pride that I feel. Where does it come from? It comes from God's Word. It comes right here. In the book of 2 Timothy, in the first chapter, the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, and remember, this is the last that he's going to write. This is his final letter. He's given encouragement to Timothy. He's given encouragement to that young man who at sometimes had felt a little timid. But Paul knew, Paul had faith in him. Because he knew Timothy, he knew where he came from. Paul knew that he laid the hands upon him, he prayed for him. And he knew that he had the gift of God within him. And these are the words of encouragement. Third verse, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I am called to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And then that seventh verse, that one that you've heard preached so many times, that one when you open it up and you run across it in your Bible, you read it, and oh, God, through His Holy Spirit, just warms your heart. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, had a special blessing under the reading of your word today in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 I believe that the apostle knew Timothy so well. Timothy was going to carry on. Keep the faith. Remember that phrase we used to use? Keep the faith, baby. Timothy was going to carry on. And Paul knew three things about him. First of all, he talks about that heritage, about his grandmother, about his mother. Now, you may have a wonderful heritage of church-going folks, good Christians, solid. Or you may not. The heritage that we talk about is not only your parents, your grandparents, but the heritage that we talk about are the fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that you come into contact with. Although you might not have the greatest mother or father or grandparents, my friends, we have people within our midst that God will use to mentor you so that you can start to create a heritage today. Today. It is shown in your simple faith to walk in on a Sunday morning when the temperature's it is going to get hot. To make that effort to come out to church might get a little stuffy. Preacher might preach a little long. Don't say amen. Don't say amen on that one. But you've made that effort. You have started a heritage of faith with those that you believe in. Secondly, Paul knew that he had a spiritual gift within him. He laid hands on him. He prayed on him. He said, stir up this gift that God has given you. Each one of us have gifts. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God has something special for you to do for Him. And it's up to us to stir up that gift that is within us. And finally, he knew that Timothy would be solid in his conviction. He would look at things in a positive way, not getting caught up in all the stuff that so easily besets us on our way. I love this story. Martha Berry. Martha Berry was born in 1866 and she passed away in 1942. She founded the Berry School for Needy Children in Mount Berry, Georgia. In 1932, she was named one of the 12 most outstanding women in America. Early on with her calling, she felt that God laid upon her heart to contact Henry Ford for a $1 million donation to her school. Henry Ford very coldly handed her a dime And she graciously thanked him. She took that dime back to Georgia. With it, she bought peanuts, planted them. At the end of the harvest that year, she took all the crop and replanted a much larger plot the next year. At harvest time, they were able to sell enough peanuts to buy a piano for the music students at the Berry School. She then felt led to write a letter back to Mr. Ford, telling him of the great things that had happened because of his dime. Henry Ford was so moved that he invited her to Detroit. And very graciously, he handed her a check for $1 million. How many of us are concerned about looking about the dollars that we don't have? Or how many of us are thrilled to what we can do with the dimes that we do have in our life? I'm not talking about money here, folks. The dimes that we have in our life may be individuals that seem very small, almost pushed to the side. But if we can be used of God to get a hold of them, let them know that God loves them. Let them know that we care. How then will God use those dimes to multiply, to multiply, to multiply? I believe that God has something in store for us here at Mount Calvary. I just believe it. When I pulled in that parking lot out there, ooh, it's nice seeing all those cars in that parking lot. When I was preaching down at the campgrounds, that place was full this morning. And those people were so appreciative of the fellas that made the effort to come down and sing. Brother Bill Butts from Calvary Road, he came in that door, gave me a big smile and said, "Can't sing today." But he made the effort. He made the effort. He made the effort. And I believe that God in his wisdom, in his providence, he rewards the effort that we make, not the songs we sing. It's the spirit we place within. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me and you. It is God that we serve. It is God that allows us to do this. It is God, through his wisdom, that allows us to appreciate the dimes in our lives. The dimes. The dimes. In just a moment, we're going to serve communion. It's a beautiful time. It's a time where you just thank God for what he has done for you. That's what communion is. Do this in remembrance of me. If there are issues within your life, you just put them on the altar. If there are things that you're struggling with, you just take time before you start to get a hold of God and start putting in your, you just say, first of all, thank you, God, for what you did for me. And you'll be amazed when your focus is on thank you about how many answers to prayer there will be. In just a moment, we're going to have the deacons come up. I'm going to pray over the wafer, represent the body that is broken. I'm going to pray over the small cup of juice, represents the blood that was shed. We're all going to break and eat together. We're all going to supper this cup together. And together, one mind, one spirit of accord, we are going to thank God for what he did for us. Heavenly Father, we have gotten together in your house today because it was your will, Heavenly Father. You've allowed us to have this beautiful day. You've allowed us to be here safely, to join God in our hearts together in worship of you. We have worshiped you in song. We have read your word, Heavenly Father. We have heard testimonies of things that you are doing within our lives. And Heavenly Father, we have put our trust and our faith in you to answer those prayer requests. So many that Arlene so warmly and so genuinely lifted up to you. Now, Heavenly Father, let us never be so anxious to get a hold of you without